Tav Shinayin Zayin. Zanivin, so start off with Rav Alpert always used to say, right? Rav Nissen Alpert is the time Talmud of Moshe Feinstein. You know, he was Armasada Kedushin, he was Kivi Sandik. Armasada Kedushin. And Kivi Sandik. Anyway, he was Sadik and Talmud Chacham. Anyway, he said, Vayishma Yisro Kohim Mijan Kohim Moshe. First pasuk. It says, "Why do we need this an entire description of a Yishma Yisro Kohen Midjan Kosein Moshe?" We know who Yisro is Ella, and we'll see later on. He's not referred to as Kohen Midjan. He's only referred to as Kosein Moshe. Yishma Yisro. Then later on, he's referred to as Yisro Kosein Moshe. Says the says Alfred. He says because Yisro had the koach of Shmia. Shmia. In other words, the fact is that Reb Tzadok also says that it starts off with Shmia because that's a prerequisite to Kabbalah Satorah. The willingness to hear. To hear, but not just to hear, you know, to hear, but to hear and to process. To hear and to process. Like it says by Shol in Sefer Shmuel, by Yeshama Shol es Am. So Vayishama Shol es Am, so it means to gather together the people. Because the nature of Shmia is that it's an assimilative process. We've talked about this before. The nature of Shmia, of hearing, is that it's an assimilative process. In other words, in Re'ia, in seeing, everything hits you in one gestalt, right there, bang. You don't see a piece at a time. In Shmia, you hear, you detect that you're hearing the sounds and the syllables, the words, the sentences, the paragraphs, etc. So you're putting it together. That's why Yishama Shol Esa'am is that he gathered together the people. He gathered together the people because that's what Shmiah is. Shmiah is assimilative. We say Shema Yisrael. Shema Yisrael. So in Shema Yisrael, what we're also doing is, I mean, the Sefer Haredim talks about the idea that, first of all, we're gathering together, making this declaration together. Plus also, as the Zohar says, Shema is Rosh Tevos, Su'u Marom Einichem, Uru'u Mi Bara Eile, Pasuk in Yishayahu. Su'u Marom Einichem, that's Rosh Tevos, Sin or Shin, Marom Mem, Einichem Ayin, and lift your eyes up heavenward, and see who is the me, who is the me behind all the Ela. There's one me behind all of the Ela. There's one me behind all of the different forces. Me and Ela spells Elohim. With a hey, obviously not a kuf. Right? So the
what spells Elohim?
Me and Ela. Me is Mem Yud, and Ela is Aleph Lamed Hey. Right? You put the word letters together, it spells Elohim. Elohim. So that's the koach of Shmia. What the Rav Alpert said was that, I mean, he didn't necessarily say this other sprach, but what he said is that Yisro had the, why did he come? Why did he come? Because he had the koach of Shmia. He had the strength of hearing something, assimilating it.
What did he hear?
That's a discussion. Did he hear Kriyas Yamsuf, Milchemes HaMolek, Yetzias Mitzrayim, Matan Torah, if he came after Matan Torah? But whatever he was, he heard, he put it together, and he acted upon it. So that's why it says, Vayishma Yisro Kohen Midjan Chosein Moshe, because in his life, he lived a very, very colorful life. Yisro initially was one of the members of Paro's think tank. He was one of the people to whom Paro asked for an aid, so what should I do with the Jewish problem? We know that Eov was silent, Bilam said to kill him, and Yisro says, I'm out of here, this is not for me, right? I don't believe in this. He fled. He went to Midian. There in Midian, so originally his claim to fame, was his intellectual prowess. He was a great thinker, a wise man, a person to whom you could get, you know, deep advice, etc. He says, this is Sheker, I'm out of here. He runs to Midian, there becomes the chief honcho of the Avodah Zarah. He's the one who's the Kohen Midjan. He's the one who's directing them. This is the way the service. But then he says, oh, this is also Sheker. They shunned him as a result of it. He didn't care what he called. This is Sheker. I'm not going to volunteer Sheker. Then he met Moshe. He said, you know what? It's Kedai. I don't need to be called Yisrael, the great thinker. I don't need to be called Kohen Midjan, the chief priest. Let me just be called the father-in-law of this man. This man's got the MS. Right? So he had the koach of Shmia. He had the koach of Shmia. He had the koach to hear, put it together, and collect the data and act upon it. And that's why he's the introduction to Matan Torah. That's the fundamental of connecting to the Torah, is the willingness to open your ears, to hear, to accept, and then begin to understand. We go, what does that mean? What do I conclude from this? Okay. In Pasuk Yud Beis, in Perek Yud Ches, in Pasuk Yud Beis, so there it says Vayikach Yisrael Chosen Moshe. Note, it doesn't say over here Kohen Midjan. Right? It doesn't say Kohen Midjan. Because there's no reason to mention him as Kohen Midjan anymore. It's only to prove the point of his ability to overcome, to relinquish his sense of self in his thirst and his quest for receiving the truth. That's why the first pasuk is, since it's telling us about that quality of his, so it talks about all of his pit stops along his colorful career. Yisro, Kohen Midjan, Chosen Moshe, but here it's not addressing that issue, therefore we leave out the Kohen Midjan. What it talks about over here is Yisro, Chosen Moshe. Chosen Moshe.
How old was he at the time of the
turn? No, I don't know. But Yikach Yisro, Chosen Midjan. Chosein Moshe, Vayikach Yisro Chosein Moshe Ole Uzvachim Lelokim Vayavo Aron V'Chosek Yisrael Lecho Lechem In Chosein Moshe Lefnei Elokim. Perek Yud Ches, chapter 8, what do you call it, 18, yeah, Pasuk Yud Beis 12.
Ches now?
Perek, we're still in Perek. It was Perek Yud Ches, the first Perek.
Yud Ches,
Yud Beis. Yud Beis. Yud Beis.
Yisrael
Chosein Moshe. Right. So what is the, he says Vayikach, and he took Ole Uzvachim. Olo Zvachim.
Took a sacrifice?
Olo Zvachim. Now, the Ola, right, he brought these. Now this idea of Olo Zvachim is very interesting. Well, before that, he says, Vaykach Yisro Chosein Moshe, Olo Zvachim Lelokim. Now, the fact that he brought Lelokim is very unusual. Because usually when we talk about korbanos, whenever we talk about korbanos, Ramban makes a point out of it that we always talk about Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei. We're never talking about Elohim.
I don't understand what you're saying.
He has a way with words, doesn't he?
A korban?
No, whenever Hashem's name is mentioned in relation to korbanos, it's always the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of everything. Elohim means koach. There, God forbid, there could be a confusion here, like Elohim Acherim, like other gods. In other words, the idea is that if it, you don't, we don't bring our korbanos, as it were, to the concept of koach, and therefore you'll give me koach, you'll give me, etc. We give it to the name that's associated with Hashem Kavyochol in his etzem. Of course, Elohim, when we refer to Hashem, is referring to Hashem. Hashem Elohim, Hashem Echad, he's all one. But we don't want to confuse what the nature of the Avoda is. We don't want to confuse the nature of the Avoda, of Avodas Hashem, is that we're coming to manipulate, God forbid, the angry God, so that he'll give us what we want, etc. Our kabbalists are always directly to the, we call to we have to focus. They're giving to the Rabbon Shalom because we're giving to the Rabbon Shalom, not because we're trying to manipulate him. Not like the idol worshippers who worship Elohim Acherim. Right? So the Netziv says over here, the Netziv says, why is it referred to over here as Elohim? Doing this again. why I'm referring to it as Elohim. So the Netziv says very
what,
interesting thing.
Are the gods Elohim?
What?
Elohim Achirim?
No, not Achirim, God forbid. We're not talking about a God who forbid Avodah Zarah. But it's saying you don't usually even use the name of Hashem of Elohim when you talk about Korbanos. Right? Netziv says the Kavan over here is not that he's coming to be Makriv to the shame Elohim. He's not coming to be Makriv to meet a Tadin. Right, and that's what he's not coming. He's coming back to the Borsha, he says the reason why I mentioned over here Elohim is not because the offering was to Elohim, but rather the kavada over here is that he was coming to be makriv in order to increase his das Elohim. What do I mean? In other words, a korban ola is brought for the purpose of being cleansing a person, as it were, even though he's already done shuva, on a bitol mitzvah essay. If he negates a positive commandment. We need to get the positive commandment.
Okay.
Yeah. You need to get the positive commandment. The concept, right? The concept is more. There's more when you're mavakel mitzvah essay. Like, let's say the Gemara teaches us that a person who negates a positive commandment, the minute he does tshuva, he doesn't need any further kapara. So, what's the ola doing? The Ola is creating a stronger connection between him and Hashem on the wavelength of the mitzvah essay. What does that mean? He did tshuva, he's finished. But like the Rabbeinu Yonah says that a person, right? Rabbeinu Yonah in Shari Tshuva. Rabbeinu Yonah in Shari Tshuva says that a person needs, right? One of the main things that a person needs kapara for when he's mevatel mitzvah essay is that it's not even if he's mevatel it, if he doesn't take advantage of mitzvah essay because he didn't desire the beauty of the mitzvah. He didn't desire the beauty of the mitzvah. Let's say a person decides he's not going to wear a four-cornered garment and he's not going to record. He's not even mevatel mitzvah essay. The Gemara says that in an idna derischa, in a time when the situation is fraught with danger, a person could be, what do you call it, a person could be nanash even on not wearing tzitzis. What do you mean not wearing tzitzis? It doesn't mean he's talking about wearing a four-cornered garment without tzitzis. He's just not wearing tzitzis. He should have wanted the beauty of the mitzvah. And the fact that he didn't desire the beauty of it, that's considered a deficiency, and God forbid, in a time that's fraught with danger, he can be nanash for it. So what the Netziv says is the reason that Yisroel brought the Korban all over here is because he wanted Das Elohim. He wanted the connection to God. Not so much he's coming with a chaper or anything. He wanted the connection to God. The pasuk he brings to prove this, yeah. Pasuk says, in Hosea in Perek Vav, Ki Chesed Chofatzti Velo Zevach Das Elokim Meolos. God says he wants Chesed more than the Zevach. A Zevach is a Shlomim. And Das Elohim more than the Olos. We see over here by virtue of the Pasuk in Hosea that you might have thought that, well, you might have thought, you see that what does the Ola do? The Ola comes and helps you in connecting in the world of Das Elohim. The world of being connected to the Creator, that would require to enter into the world of wanting to be close to the Creator in everything you do. Like the Mitzvah essay, for instance. Right, the mitzvah essay. And I didn't do anything wrong, but I don't fully appreciate. Yisro is coming. He's coming now to be his Geyer. He wants to enter into the world of Torah mitzvahs with a love, with a yearning, with an appreciation, with a desire to fulfill the acts that the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to command the Jewish people, or has already commanded the Jewish people, depending if he came before or after Matan Torah. Right? So the Ola he brings is to develop that aspect of himself. So that coming from Chaper, per se.
He just wanted more knowledge of
the... In other words, the Das Elohim, the way that we know this, the way the, let's say, philosophers think about perhaps the Das Elohim, it's very abstract, it's very, you know, it's up in the air, it's, cogitate over, you know, whatever it is out it's on some mountaintop, right? But the Das Elohim we know is through fulfilling the commandments of Hashem. That's how a person comes closer to Hashem, is via the commandments. So he wants to bring a Korban Ola, wants to bring a Korban Ola in order to increase that capacity of his, in order to upgrade that capacity of his, to want to connect to the Creator in his worldview via the mitzvos, via the mitzvos essay. It's a question whether it came before or after. We don't know if it came before or after. It's a machlokas.
So now, is he converted by then?
See, he converts at this point, where we don't know exactly, and because it before or after Matan Torah, but yeah, eventually he is Mizgayer.
And he will allow that extra added intelligence to someone who's not Jewish?
Well, he's being Mizgayer. This is part of the process of being Mizgayer. Okay? So that's why he brings the Ola.
That's why the nations of the world could bring Olas.
They bring Olas. Yeah. That's a point. That could be. Right? And they bring what? He's bringing Shlomim. Why is he bringing Shlomim?
So we
ordinarily Simchas. Shlomim also, you see from here, from the Pasuk in Hosea, Ki chesed chofatzti v'lo zevach. Right? Zevach is a Shlomim. Chesed chofatzti. You see that the concept of Shlomim is attached. Why do they bring Shlomim, among other things, what he calls says in the Netziv, when a person feels chaser in shalom, in peace, which direction? You see from the Pasuk here, in the direction of his fellow man. That's what the Pasuk says. Don't think you can just do bring the Shlomim. Chesed chafatzti, v'lo zevach. So the person who wants, in other words, to upgrade his capacity of chesed, of shalom, with his fellow man, so he brings a shlomim. So those are what he called, those are the two korbanos. Now,
why increase your knowledge and doubt of Elohim? Why is it Elohim in this situation?
That's when the point is, as we use dafka, the shem yud kevavke, in the world of korbanos. Right? But here, his intention over here is not per se the Korban, just the effect of the Korban. In other words, the reason we use the Shem Havaya by the Korbanos is that it shouldn't look like the...
Oh, sorry. I'm trying to help you here. I
can't say there's no video. At any event, the korbanos, right? When we're talking the world of the korbanos, we make sure that you're not, as it were, focusing on some sort of manipulative process. That's what I always do the shame of I. Then it sees Chiddush over here. It's true, he brought a korban, but the idea over here wasn't what he called, wasn't the korban per se, as much as the effect of what he called the Das Elohim for the Ola, and the Shlomim for increasing his sense of shalom vis-a-vis his fellow man.
How many
korbanos did he bring? Only Zvachim. One in Lechor 2. One was an Olam, one was the Shlomim. Okay? So what he called, that's what he says. Now then he has a little bit of a problem. He says, why should he have an issue of chesed with his fellow man? Right? What's one thing to get enter into the world of connecting to Hashem through the mitzvos, right? Through positive commandments, right? That's a new world for him. Mm-hmm. But the world of chesed, so it goes a different direction. I was thinking as follows. He actually brings down the Gemara. The Gemara says in Brachos, that Moshe Rabbeinu asked the question, why is there Tzadik V'Ra'lo? And you actually go for all four permutations. There's Tzadik V'Ra'lo, Tzadik V'Tovlo, Rasha V'Ra'lo, Rasha V'Tovlo, right, all four permutations. But the Gemara initially wants to answer that a Tzadik V'Ra'lo is a Tzadik Ben Rasha. Tzadik Ben Rasha. And then the Gemara says that can't be. A person shouldn't suffer because his father's, you know, his father's misdeeds, right? And then the Gemara says afterwards, he says, no, really, the answer is not Tzadik ben Rasha, but rather Tzadik she'eno gomor, not a complete Tzadik, not a complete Tzadik. That's why he suffers. Again, this is a very deep Gemara, and it's got a lot of discussion with it. The Mekubalim, right, understand. The Ramamik Pano, right, the Shlah, I think, if I remember correctly, others, that the two answers are really connected to one another. And that when we say that he's Tzadik Ben Rasha, it's explained, we don't mean his biological father, we mean his Gilgal, right? And that's explained, that's what we mean when we said he's a Tzadik She'eno Gomor. In other words, in this lifetime he may appear to be Kli Tzadik, but he's got baggage he's got to clean up on a previous lifetime. So then, in other words, the two answers go together. Tzadik Ben Rasha is the Tzadik She'eno Gomor. It doesn't mean biologically, but rather it recalls his previous lifetime. Fine. But Rav Kook, though, has a different take on this. He wants to suggest that, you okay?
Yeah.
He wants to suggest that the two answers are connected, but he says as follows. A tzaddik, who is the son of a Rasha, he needs that life shouldn't necessarily go totally smoothly for him, because it's easy for him to fall back, right, on what he's accustomed to through his nurture. If his father were a Rasha, right, or Russia. So even though the person, as it were, yeah, the person has chosen a new path in life, but there are things that one becomes acculturated and accustomed to through one's nurture that unfortunately require, they become second nature to the person, right? Right? A person decides to become a tzaddik. But let's say, God forbid, he was raised in a very prickly situation at home, right? What do you call it? They weren't so beseder, right? They weren't so beseder, whatever they did, what do you call it, whatever they did to him, right, etc. So then it's very easy for him to fall into those patterns. It's very easy for him to fall into those patterns again. So therefore, he needs as a more constant awareness, a little bit of Yisurim, right? A little bit of Yisurim, as a word to keep him aware so he doesn't fall into those patterns. That being the case, right, that being the case, we can use that idea also over here in terms of Yisro. Yisro brings the Ola, because he wants, as it were, to attach to Hashem now, through, in a whole new outlook, through the world of mitzvos, that the Ola comes, as it were, to rectify the person's inappropriate relationship with mitzvos essay, and he brings a shlomim in order to rectify some imbalance that he might have had in terms of his bein adam l'chaveiro, right? Yisro per se might have been beseder, but he needs special cleansing because he comes from the world of Toma. So he brings a shlomim, as it were, for that purpose. Okay. Further, in Perek Yutes, in Pasuk Chof, Pasuk Yubeis, true. We also bought Zvachim. What?
That's
a separate. Well, you went to Mimigayadam. You went back to Mimigayadam. Yeah, they live in Yericho. They got the Deshen of Yericho. Anyway, but Kaiser as a whole, at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, it says, really cool, it says, Vayishlach Esnari B'nei Yisrael, Vayalu Olos, Vayizvichot, the end of Mishpatim, it says the whole Jewish people brought what he called, brought Olos and Zvachim. Olos and Zvachim. It's also part of Matan Torah, the end of Parshas Mishpatim. It's part of the... This is in the process of receiving what he called, receiving the Torah. This is during Sinai.
During Sinai.
Yeah. This is part of their Gerus. Part of their Gerus.
All Kaiser.
Yeah. So now back to Perek Yudet. Before Shivasa Batamos, yeah. Before he came down and found the Egel, yeah, for sure. Okay. Now in Perek Yutet, Pasuk Yud Beis. Perek Yutet, Pasuk Yud Beis. So we have over there. It says over there, this is in terms of the preparation for Matan Torah. It says, Higbalta es ha'am saviv. Right? In other words, they have to be prepared for the third day. They have to separate themselves from their wives. They go to the mikvah, right? All 9 yards. Higbalta es ha'am saviv lemor. Higbalta. So.
Let's say it'd be no.
Zvachim is later on. It's been Parshat Mishpatim. At the end of Parshat Mishpatim.
You just said that before they
brought... Seder, that's written over there. At the end of Parshat Mishpatim. Part of Matan Torah is written over there.
Why isn't it said Hebrew not for preparation? You just said that it was a preparation for Matan Torah that they brought Kabbalah.
I understand. It's written there at the end of Parshat Mishpatim.
Written over here.
That's a different discussion. We're not discussing that now. There's a whole part of Matan Torah is written at the end of... Part Nasav and Ishma is written in Mishpatim. That's the discussion in its own right. Okay? And that's for a reason. That's the reason why it was put over there. Special. Baruch Hashem. Shem. Yeah.
We had the preparation for Matan Torah. We had to separate from our wives. We had to build a fence.
No, it's not build a fence. That's the idea. Higbalta, you set up a gvul. Yeah? So what's the gvul? So many of the people learned that the idea they said he can go here, he can't go any further. He can go any further. The Meshach Chachma, but literally what it means, Higbalta es ha'am. I mean, even Esther doesn't learn that way, but whatever. It says, Higbalta es ha'am. The am become the gvul. The am becomes the, what do you call, becomes the fence, as it were, the gvul. Vigbalta es ha'am saviv lemor. Hishamru, we gotta come. Hishamru lachem alos bahar nego bekatzel kol negev bahar mos yumas. Says the Meshech Chachma. That just like we know in the Mishkan, there's a Kodesh Kodashim, right? There's a Kodesh. There's an Azara, a Chatzir, etc. And in the Beit HaMikdash, there's Kodesh Kodashim, there's Kodesh, there's the Chatzir. The Jewish people are now, they are the Mishkan. They are the Mishkan. They become the walls, as it were, of the Mishkan. V'gbalt z'am saviv lemor. Hishamru lachem alos b'har negor v'katzeyu. You can't go and touch, what do you call it, the mountain? Right, you're not allowed to touch the mountain, right? Because that's a place where you can't go. But you yourself, you're the gvul. They became the gvul. The lashon of the Meshech Chachma is kumo shebazara amar b'toras korim shemutim benegia va'asa bebia. Mishum dehat ksolim im chotisim bein mishkan Hashem lechutza kein kan hayu Yisrael hamechitzos. They became the mechitzos. Chotisim bein gilui kvod elokim lezulaso. V'lachin ahar haya osa benegia shlo kolsem makam hakovod min ahar. V'lachin amar ki hakovod yesh lo gvul u'ma gvulo ze ha'am saviv.
The people themselves became the mechitza.
They became the mechitza.
But they policed themselves.
No, they policed themselves. Like it says in Parshas Truma. But usually mikdash v'shachanti b'socham. I'm going to make a mikdash. I'm going to dwell in your midst.
Right,
and then the idea is that we become. Hashem wants to dwell inside of us.
So what does that have to do with becoming a gevul, not touching the mountain?
If we're the Mishkan. Here, recording, we're the Mishkan itself. That means we are the place within which Hashem's kavod is dwelling.
No,
the mountain is already inside. You're not allowed to go into that section. You are the gvul. You are the fence, but you can't go into. You're not allowed to touch the fence, but you're not allowed to go into that area.
This is very abstract.
It's not abstract. It's what you call it. You are the fence.
They make themselves into their own Mishkan. So therefore they can't touch the mountain.
They can't, because the mountain is already past the place of where the Mishkan, the walls are supposed to be. They're
supposed to have an awareness of not touching the mountain.
I don't know what the awareness is. What do you call
it? Whatever it is, the awareness of the holiness of the
mountain. It's lots of feeling to touch the mountain. You're not allowed to.
Before
they became... It's not just awareness. It sounds like Timothy Leary. What an awareness. A higher awareness. What do you call it? They're not allowed to touch it because that's the cover. It's like, just like you could touch the co-cell, right? But you can't go on the other side of the co-cell. So there, the co-cell. Where you are, you're okay. You're the wall. But don't go inside. Don't go further. What's on the other side? It's a higher level. It's a higher level. You're not ready for that level. It's not appropriate for that level. Only Moshe is allowed to go up to the mountain. To which he says, that's why the Pasuk in Yirmiyah says, Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem Heima. We are the Heichal Hashem. We are the sanctuary of Hashem. And it's from this point that the Jewish people were sanctified.
You would think that since we are sanctified ourselves, we should be able to go behind the goal.
No, you can't go everywhere. You can't go to different levels of Kedusha. Nachon, a Metzora can't stay inside the city. A Zav is allowed to go inside the city, but he can't go.
There are levels of Kedusha.
What?
There are levels of Tumah.
I understand, but what do you call it? But just like in the world of Tumah, the different gradations, so too also in the positive side of the spectrum, the other side of the pH scale, yeah, you've got a certain amount of Kedusha, but you can't go beyond that Kedusha. Right? A Kohen can go, what do you call it? It can go into the Heichal. Kohen Gadol can go into the Kodesh Kedoshim. A Zar can't go into any of those places. That's good. Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. So they became the gvul. They became the gvul itself of the kedusha. So they couldn't. They're the gvul. So now you can't touch the har. The har is a higher level of kedusha. You can't go there. But you yourself are the gvul. The gvul is am saviv lemoi shamru lachem alos bahar. Even though you're the gvul, but you can't go to the har because that's a higher level of kedusha. And this level of Kedusha remained with them. This is what remains with us always. And every Jew is embedded in this Kedusha. We never lost it. Just we were just dismantled, right? We're dismantled as the being the structure. But the Kedusha remains inside of us. Right? We are the Mishkan. Like the Pasuk says in Yirmiyah, Heichal Hashem Heima. We, they, the Jewish people, are the Heichal Hashem. They're the sanctuary of Hashem. In Pasuk Chaf. It says, "Vayevir Hashem al Har Sinai el Rosh Har," right? Pasuk Chaf, right? Pasuk Chaf. It's Pasuk Chaf.
More looks like a
baby. Right there. Shishi. Says, "Vayevir." Yeah, Vayevir Hashem. Pasuk Perik Tes Pasuk Chaf. Vayevir Hashem. Hashem al Har Sinai el Rosh Har vayikra Hashem le Moshe el Rosh Har vayal Moshe. Okay, so what is Rashi saying? Vayir Hashem al Har Sinai. Moshe came down. Hashem came down to Har Sinai. Yochol Yorad alav mamish. Perhaps you'll think it means that Hashem kav Yochol mamish came down to Har Sinai. Talmud Lomer ki min Hashemayim dibarti imachem. Later on, Perkhof, here in Yisrael, it says that Hashem spoke to us from heaven. Well, was he on Har Sinai? Or was he speaking to us from heaven? Melamed, Shehirki in Shamayim Elyonim V'Tachtonim, to teach us. I know, to be able to combine these two psukim. You see it?
You want Shishi or Shlishi?
Shishi. Where are you going too far? Perkutes. Yud Tes, Chaf. Name? Yud Tes, you're in Yud Tes, no? Or you're in Yud Ches? Where are you? Yud Tes, Chaf. But yeah, so what does he say? He says, Rashi, Vayir Hashem al Har Sinai. 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 So the... What? Yes. Okay.
How do you say it?
No, I said it already enough times. Al Har Sinai, El Rosh Ahar, to the top of the mount. And he called to Moshe from the top of the mountain, and Moshe went up. So Rashi says, Vayir Hashem al Har Sinai. Hashem went down to Har Sinai. But says Rashi, Yochel Yorad, I love Mamish. Is Hashem really Kovi Yochel on top of Har Sinai, calling to Moshe from Har Sinai? Talmud Lomer, Kibir Hashemayim Dibati Mechem. We learned that another pasuk that says, pay attention, don't you, the note that I called out to you from the heavens. So where is he calling out from? Is he calling out from the heavens, or is he calling out from the top of Har Sinai? Says Rashi, Melamed, to teach us. No, the two psukim, that min Hashamayim, and at the same time, the top of Har Sinai, says Vayir Hashem al Har Sinai, Melamed Shehirkin Shamayim Elyonim V'Tachtonim, V'Yitzion al Gabi Ahar, Kimatza al Amito, Vayered Kisea Kavod Alehim. You hear this? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu took, he bent over the heavens, the upper heavens and the lower heavens. Upper heaven, those lower heavens, like sheets, like bedding, on top of Har Sinai, and he placed the Kisei HaKavod upon the, what he called upon the heavens, which were on top of Har Sinai. Now, what is that saying? What is that saying? What's saying is Nach Tzachmir, yeah, is that first of all, in Sefer Melachim, it talks about the Kodesh Kodashim. And there it refers to as the Cheder Hamitos, the bedroom. Right? The Kodesh Kodashim is called the Cheder Hamitos. It's the place of the intimate communion between Klal Yisrael, right, and Rikwad, and Kov Yoch L'Rabbono Shalom. So the imagery here of the bending of the heavens, the lower heavens and the upper heavens, right? Because the lower heavens is including all of the processes of the mazalos, of the constellations, right, etc. And the upper heavens are the supernal worlds, etc., that are directing everything. It's all laid down on top of Har Sinai like bedding. Why? Because it shows that Rabbeinu Shlomo wants to have that type of kesher with us. What does he put on top of that? He puts the Kisei HaKavod. The Kisei HaKavod. What is the Kisei HaKavod? When Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara in Shabbos, on Daf Peches, talks about Moshe Rabbeinu going up to Har Sinai. And the Malachim say, what's this, this mortal doing here? And say, it's really called to be Mekabel the Torah. And the Malachim go ballistic. They say the Rabbeinu Shalom, Kabbalah Torah, Chemda Gnuza, your precious, precious Torah, your precious, precious Hindu age treasure, Shagonu Zetzecha, Tav Kuf Ayin Dalad Doros, the Fnei Brias Olam, that you created 974 generations before the creation of the world, and you're going to give it to mortal man? He's going to mess it up. He'll ruin it. Leave the Torah by us. We appreciate the Torah. We'll keep it in purity, etc. So Hashem says to Moshe, Hachzelem Tshuva, give them an answer. So Moshe says, I'm afraid. Shem Yisrafuni behevel p'm. I'm afraid they're gonna post toasty me with the breath that comes out of their mouths because they are pure, the Malachim. They'll fry me on the spot. So Hashem tells them, Echoz v'kisei kvodi. Hold on to my Kisei HaKavod, v'hachzelem tshuva, and give them an answer. So once Moshe Rabbeinu holds on to the Kisei HaKavod, what does he say to them? He goes through the whole 9 yards that we know. He says, tell me something, have you ever been down to Mitzrayim? Do you know what it means to be tempted to be over to Verazara? Do you know what it means to be tempted to be over to God forbid in Gilead Arias? Do you have parents to honor? What do you call it? Do you know what strife is? Do you know what bickering is about? Do you know what, interpersonal difficulties are about? Right? Do you have any of these problems? No. So what do you need the Torah for? And the idea being, you can appreciate the Torah in its purity, and you could love the Torah in its purity, but you can't take the Torah and transform darkness into light. We, mortal man, right? We, mortal man, can transform darkness into light. We can coronate Hashem, the Kiseh Kov, we can coronate Hashem in a place where, God forbid, it appears at first glance that Hashem's presence is not to be found. You can't do that. That's why we need the Torah. So that's the idea of being markin, as it were, to lean over the heavens, the upper heavens, the lower heavens, upon our Sinai, like bedding, and to put the Kiseh Kov on top of it, because that's the tachlis of the Torah. So what do we see? We see that on the one hand, the Jewish people are going to become the Heichal Hashem. We learn from the Meshech Chachma. We learn from Rashi over here that the whole purpose of Matan Torah is that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to dwell together with us through the Torah. Through the Torah, he's going to dwell together with us. Later on, yeah, in the Master, Perek Chof, Pasuk Yud Tes, it says, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, that's Perek Chof, it's all right, the Master, it's the end of the Parsha. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Hashem said to Moshe, Kosomar el Bnei Yisrael, Atem B'Yisem, Ki Min HaShamayim Dibarti Imachem. Tell the Jewish people, you saw that I spoke to you from the heavens. This is the pasuk that Rashi brought before. That would appear to be in contradiction to when it says that Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai. Hashem went down to Har Sinai. And then Rashi.
What was that again?
The pasuk where we are now.
Yeah.
Perek Chof pasuk Yutes. First pasuk in the Mafter. So what did it say? It says, because Kosa would tell the Jewish people, Atemri, Sem, you saw that I spoke to you from the heavens. Spoke to you from the heavens. So Rashi says over here, Ki min ha-shamayim dibarti imachem. Ki min ha-shamayim dibarti. Right? So Rashi says over here, because of Acher Omer, Vayir Hashem Ohar Sinai. And Rashi brings down the same question that he brought down before. Before it said on the pasuk Vayir Hashem Har Sinai, so Rashi says, but it says later on the parsha that Min Shemayim Dibarti Imachem. Here we come to this pasuk Min Shemayim Dibarti Imachem. So Rashi says, but it says early in the parsha that what that really called the Vayir Hashem Har Sinai. So what Rashi is waiting, if you're getting paid by the word like Dickens, so we understand why he wrote it twice, right? But he's not getting paid by the word. Is he really accusing us of having such a poor memory that we forgot what we learned really close just a couple of prakim earlier? Right? The exact same question. It doesn't, and the thing is, he doesn't answer it necessarily the same way. What does he say? He says, Kosov Acher Omer, Vayir Hashem al Har Sinai, Bo Kosov HaShlishi V'Yichriya Beinem, Min HaShamayim Yishmiacha Es Kolo Liasreka, V'Ala Oretz Heracha Es Isho Agdola. Right? Kvoto B'Shamayim The Isho, where is it? Ugruoso ala oretz. So that he gives a teretz over here, that what? That there are two aspects. That there's the aspect of Min HaShamayim, and what's the purpose of the Shamayim over there? Min HaShamayim, right? Hishmiacho es kolo, he caused his voice to be heard to you, liasreka, to afflict you. We'll have to check that out in a second. Yeah? Le'asreka. V'ala aretz heracha es isho agdolo, and upon the aretz he showed him your great fire. Right? Kvodo shamayim v'isho gvuroso al ha'aretz. Kvodo v'shamayim v'isho gvuroso al ha'aretz. So that's what Rashi answers. This is davar acher. Here can shamayim v'shmei shamayim v'tzino ar v'chein u'om v'yed shamayim v'yerad. Baird. Then he brings the same character he gave before. So it's a puzzle. It's a puzzle. What's going on over here? Yom Hashem El Moshe Kosel Marl Bnei Yisrael Atem Yisem Ki Min HaShamayim Dibarti Imachem. In other words, you saw that from the heavens I spoke to you.
Right.
I spoke to you. Okay? So the previous pasuk says, it says Vayera Hashem al Har Sinai. Okay? So the again, just let's just push it. We would say that the previous pasuk was addressing the closeness that Hashem was going to have with us. Right? Here, post Matan Torah, post the Seres Adibros, yeah, what is he saying? Remember that you saw that I spoke to you from heaven. I spoke to you from heaven. In other words, I spoke to you from heaven, and like it says afterwards, Lo sasuni ti Elohei chesev Elohei zav lo sasu lachem. In other words, don't make gods of silver and gold, etc. Even things that are in my entourage in heaven, like Rashi says, Lo sasun dumus shimshi shemashamshi mefanai b'morom. In other words, don't take any of those, as it were, those the entourage, the sun, the moon, the signs of the zodiac. Don't make gods, as it were, of silver and gold representing them because they're in my entourage. Don't do that. Don't do that.
Don't make what?
Even I spoke to you from heaven. I spoke to you from heaven.
Right.
And when I spoke to you, there were no images, no visions. There was no things that you saw. Right. No things you saw. Yeah. So therefore, don't make anything like that. Don't make los hasuni ti el hey chesiv el hey zav los hasun lachem. Don't make yourself any idols. Don't make yourself any images that are even commemorative of what I would call of your experience of hearing me speak to you, because just like you didn't see anything there, don't make anything afterwards that's commemorative of it or reminiscent of it or representative of it. Don't. I'm just saying that Rashi says over here he asked the same question he asked before.
Yeah.
The question he asked before was why the two different things written in the pasuk, right? Well, but there and earlier we saw that Vayera Hashem Har Sinai, Hashem came down to Har Sinai, and here it says Minashamayim Dibarti Mechav, I spoke to you from heaven.
Right.
Rashi explained it before. There was what he called Rashi explained before to show the idea of the combination, right? Of the Hashem bent down the heaven onto the earth, right? Mm-hmm. To show His closeness with us. Rashi over here brings down a different explanation, the first parish. He says over here, he says, V'kos of Echad Omer V'yered Hashem al Har Sinai, V'kos of Ashlishi V'chriya B'neim, V'nishamayim Yishmiyachah Es Kolo Liyasreka, V'la'aret Terechah Es Isho HaGidola. So that's a pasuk in Sefer Dvarim. In Shemayim, right, from Shemayim, he caused his voice to be heard, Liyasreka, to afflict you, to frighten you, yeah? Ve'al'aret Terechah Es Isho HaGidola. Right? Kavod in Shemayim and Eish on the Oretz. Before it said that Hashem brought His glory down to Har Sinai, and then Rashi asked before, but over here, the Pasuk says that Hashem spoke to us from heaven. How can He speak to us from heaven if we go to Har Sinai? So Rashi answered over there that He was Markin, He spread out the heavens upon Har Sinai, just like bedding on top of a bed. Right? Like bedding on top of a bed. Okay? That was to point out the closeness that Hashem wants to have with us. That's what we spoke about. Right? The Kisya Kovod was now on this bedding, right? Just like we said that the Pasuk in Malachim, Pasuk in Divrei Yamim, refers to the Kodesh Kodashim as Chedra Mitos. It's talking about the love, the closeness, the affection that Hashem has for us. See, he the whole heavens where He bent down like bedding upon a bed. On top of what He called Har Sinai, and the Kisei Kovod stood on top of that to show that's the closeness. He's making a bed for us, covering up for Himself there on top of Har Sinai. That's what He called, that's showing the closeness. Here, the Rashi says the opposite. Kosev Echad Omer, Yered Hashem Har Sinai, Ba Kosev Ashlishi V'Yichriya B'Neim. He says, but what is that? Here you said, Min Shamayim Dibarti, from the heavens I spoke to you. But we said before that Hashem came down to Har Sinai, you'll make up your mind. So now Rashi splits it. He says, Ba'akos v'ashlishi v'yichriya b'neim, min ha-shamayim, it says in Dvarim, min ha-shamayim yishmiyachah es kolo liyasreka, from the heavens He caused His voice to be heard to you, liyasreka, to be miyatzer you. Right? To be miyatzer you means, in other words, right? When you call it, just like when one person is experiencing something difficult, it's when you call it causes him to just stand up, take a shrek and reflect. He heard the awesome voice of Hashem from Shamayim. And from the heaven and from the earth, they saw his fire. His fire. Kvodo bashamayim, the isho ugvoras ala aretz. In other words, the coal, the sound, you don't understand what it, you can't, the Mefarshim say over there in Dvarim, Chizkuni, others say that they heard the voice coming out of heaven, but it wasn't articulated in words. They couldn't understand the words. Then they heard the words, and they saw as it were the transferal of the voice coming from heaven and reaching the top of the mountain and transforming into words that they could understand. So the Chizkuni learned it in Dvarim.
They heard sound.
They heard the sound coming. It's like kilu. You're putting sound into a descrambler, right? And it comes down. All of a sudden, it's unscrambled. You hear the words coming out. So they heard the coal coming from Shemayim and then transforming into words on the top of the mountain. So the, what do you call it? This it says Rashi, what is that? Kvodo b'Shamayim, his glory is in heaven, right? And he's totally beyond us. We couldn't understand it. His kavod, his loftiness. Right? His weightiness, Kaviyachol, is so great, it's beyond our conception. So that's what you saw at Har Sinai, that he's beyond you. And yet, right, what you see, it's translated into his authority, his Eish down here on earth, his Gvura. This is what you have to do.
At the point of connection.
But the point of connection. On earth, in other words, your connection to my kavod, which is totally transcendent in heaven, is only by way of your respect, right, and your deference to the Eish, to the fire of the demand of your Mekayim, these mitzvahs here down on earth. The Eish is on earth, and the kavod is in Shamayim. Right, the kavod is, we cannot, it's not articulate for us. We don't understand, we just have a coal. Like the Chizkuni says. But it comes articulate through what? Through the Eish that's here on earth. That Eish is called the Torah that we receive. So that's all, that's the preamble, right? Rashi explains it differently over here. In the first place, in the beginning of the Parsha, it was coming to show how much Hashem loves us. Here, it's the preamble to what? Lo sasuni ti Elohei chesev, Elohei zav, lo sasulachem. Don't mess around with this system. Don't say I want to make a thing over here, like I'll make a golden sun over here, which show, you know, the greatness of God in heaven, or I'll make, what do you call, I'll make kruvim, or I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll do the next thing, right? Instead, I'll keep it in my house, it'll be commemorative, it'll remind me of this. Don't mess with this, because this is a system that you have no control over. Right? The system is that, in its essence, it's totally transcendent of you. The only way you can connect to that which is transcendent of you is by total acceptance and respect and fear for the fire of Torah that's here on earth. Midashamayim yishmata din eretz yarav shaketa. From heaven you caused din to be heard on the earth. The earth shook. And the only way you can connect is via the mitzvahs. There is no other way. So again, it's both the two psukim. Rashi explains it one way there, one way over here, because over there he's coming to show the love. Brought the Shemayim down to the earth. Here he's coming to show that the only way you can connect to the fearsomeness, to the total transcendence, I should say, of what's in the Shemayim, right, is only by way of deference, respect, and complete acceptance of the fire, which is called the Torah here on earth. Yeah? Then, let's just finish off, what does it say you do? Mizbach Adama Taseli. Mizavachtalov, that's Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Mizavachtalov is Olosecha Veshlamecha. Once again, Olosecha Veshlamecha. Your Olos and your Shlamim. Esoncha Vesbekarecha. Bechom Bakum Asher Askir Shmi Avoy Lecha Vyrachticha. Right? Wherever you will mention my name, I will come there and bless you. In other words, the idea, what's the name? The name is, what do you call it? The Torah. Torah is all names of Hashem. Right? Wherever you are connected to the Torah, that's why you will get blessing from me. So remember, we've talked about many times, right? Many times we've talked about the idea of how, why is this, you know, how do you read the Pesukim? Don't make God silver and gold, right? Mizbach Adamah Tatali, a simple earth, made out of earth, of Adamah, out of earth, Mizbeach. Remember, we've talked about before that the difference between the way the Mizbeach, the Targum of Mizbeach, in the Tanakh, whenever it's talking about Mizbeach of Hashem, the Targum is Madbacha, right? Right? Madbach. Mizbeach. Dalet and Zayin are interchangeable. Why? It's a place of Shechita. Oh, but we said that you're ordinarily Shecht on a Mizbeach. You sprinkle blood on a Mizbeach. You burn things on it. You don't Shecht on a Mizbeach. I mean, it's kosher if you Shecht it there, but it's not the place of Shechita. We said there was one place, one time, that a korban was meant to be Shecht on a Mizbeach, and that was Yitzchak. Because in the essence of a Jewish Mizbeach is that I give myself to my Creator. Right? I give myself to my Creator. That's what I want from you. Give me to you. Give yourself to me. Right? That's what I want from you. I don't want from you to manipulate things. The Mizbeach of an Avodah Zarah, we said, is an Agora. Agora is a marketplace. That's manipulative. Give me what I want so I can fill up my marketplace, fill up my coffers, fill up my pockets, fill up my bank account. That's the difference between the Mizbeach of what he called over the Hashem and over the Avodah Zarah. So again, the point out over here, the only way to connect to this transcendent coal that's not even articulate to you is by deference to the fire that makes its appearance here on earth, the fire of the Torah. What do I want from you? Nothing big. A Mizbeach Adama. Right? A Mizbeach of Adama. Right? A Mizbeach, where you symbolically are saying, I am yours. And then wherever you mention my name, B'chol Mokom Asher Azkira Shmi, Avoy Lecha Uverachticha. Right? Right? Wherever I'll give you the reshus to mention my name, as Rashi says, there I'll bring you bracha. And is he worried about how am I going to manage? Wherever I have to give you the reshus to mention my name, bracha will come to you. Bracha will come to you. And then finally, the last thing is, right? Right? Mizbach avanim ta'asali, lo sivne esen gazis. Don't build them with iron. Right? Don't build them with iron. And it's even when you build an eventually a Mizbeach will be permanent. It's of stones. It's not going to be of earth. So we have stones. But don't build it with iron, because iron shortens a person's life. Right? The Mizbeach is there to lengthen a person's life. Don't think I'm giving you an impossible task to live in this world. Lehefech, if you follow the direction I give you, your life will be long. Don't use iron on it. And the last thing is losal. The last pasuk in the parsha is losal. I'm sorry, losal b'malos al mizbechi. Don't walk up steps to my mizbech. Losigale evascha alav. Says Rashi, shaydei hamalos atatzurik laharchip siosecha. If there's steps up to the mizbech, you have to widen your strides. Whereas if you're going up a ramp, you can do it heel to toe. Davu v'sheinu gilui erva mamish. You're not really revealing your erva. After all, you're wearing pants and underpants, etc. After all, the Kohanim, they wore underclothing. So I can say revealing your erva. But by your widening your strides, that itself is indicative of showing a little bit of disrespect for the stones. Kilo, you're showing your lower parts, what do you call it, to the stones, even though they were actually covered. That's not a respectful way to show oneself vis-a-vis those stones. Says Rashi, and that should be a kal v'chomer for you. If you have to be careful not, as it were, to show disrespect to stones, certainly you shouldn't show disrespect for another person. So that's the conclusion, right, of Matan Torah. The conclusion of Matan Torah in Parshas Yisro is the joining, as it were. The Mizbeach is the example par excellence of divine service, of Bein Adam L'Makom. But built into the discussion of Ben Orla Makom, the Mizbeach, the Mizbeach. It teaches a lesson of how to conduct yourself Ben Orla Machavero, because that's the totality of the Torah, right? Totality of Torah encompasses both how to deal, like the Maral would say, how to deal with the Elohim, and how to deal with the Tzelem Elohim, right? How to deal with the Rabbon Shalom Kav Yochol, relate to Rabbon Shalom, how to deal with man who's made in his Tzelem. Okay.
Let's go.
Okay.